It might seem like that this passage has nothing to do with the blessed life. This might be the cursed life. But if you look carefully, you see that what Paul is telling us and what God is telling you and me today is that there is a blessing that exists even in the midst of cursed circumstances. So let me reread the same passage that Darrell read. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Amen? Perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So we don't lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction. Now let's pause there for a second. If you're honest and you've been going through any kind of pain in your life, in the moment, it does not feel light and momentary, does it? Not at all. So what we have to do is look through the eyes of faith and look through the eyes of eternity, recognizing that this pain, as weighty as it feels and as lasting as it feels, it will not last. God promises us this. And this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 1, and this will be kind of our last break before we dive in next week back into the study of 1 Timothy. But for this one last week, as we're starting a new year, let's look at Psalm chapter 1, the beginning of a new year, beginning of the Psalms. And let's see what God teaches us about the blessed life. And we're going to do it this way. First, we're going to look at what the blessed life is and why it's so important. And then we're going to ask ourselves the question, and hopefully answer it, how do we, you and I, attain that blessed life? Because my hope today is that as we unpack what it is that God is offering you and me, you're going to sit there thinking, I want that. I want that. It's kind of like if you're in a restaurant and you get these great smells coming out of the kitchen. You're like, oh, I want that. Whatever that is. That makes me want it more. I pray that the Holy Spirit today will create in you a love, a desire for this blessed life. And then that's going to leave all of us asking the question, so how do we get it? And we can unpack that today. But first, let's look at Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, would you take this word of Scripture and impress it upon our minds and in our hearts so that we would be changed? And only you can do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about this concept of the blessed life. Again, I did not say the easy life. I didn't say the comfortable life. I didn't say the always happy life. I said the blessed life. And we're going to look at this, and then we're going to try to figure out how does this apply to us. Blessed is the man, verse 1 says, and this is inclusive language. Blessed, you can substitute in blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the child. Apparently, there is a blessed life available to the Christian. There's a good life. There's an abundant life, a high quality life that is available to you and me. That's what this is telling us, just verse 1. All right? The rest of verse 1 tells us what this blessed person does not do. And then verse 2 tells us what this blessed person does do. And we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to focus on this reality that there is a type of life that's available to you and to me that is called blessed, that is characterized by blessing from the Lord. This is what Jesus talked about when he promised an abundant life for his followers. Because I don't know about you, but I want that blessed life. And what I think God is going to teach us today is that, and this is actually going to be a topic for the sermon, but also in Eat, Talk, Grow, in the adult class, we're going to unpack this as well. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that you are experiencing the realities of this blessed life. So if you're sitting here today and you would say, hey, I am not a Christian, but I'm in this church today. Or if you would say, no, I am a Christian, but I feel like my life is just heavy and it's hard and I don't see blessing. To either one of you, Jesus is inviting you today to come and move from where you are and experience the blessed life that he has for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus is calling you today. Say, come and taste and see that there is a blessed life for you. Listen to what verse 3 says, all right, describing the nature of this blessed person. This blessed person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, you see some imagery here. These are blessed images. Some of us are visual learners, right? Rachel, do you know you're a visual learner? Raise your hand. I am a visual learner. I have to see something, and if I see it, it's more powerful for me, all right? So for those of us who are visual learners, I want you to try to, in your mind, create this image of a tree, all right? If you've got any kind of imagination, I want you to picture in your mind a tree, and this tree has to be a healthy tree, a vibrant tree, a tree that is full of fruit. See, God is trying to invite us in to experience the truth here by creating a vivid image for us, a healthy tree. Now, what the writer is trying to tell us is to paint a picture of what this blessed life looks like, especially the peace and goodness that this kind of life evokes. It's like a tree planted by streams of water. If you're a tree, you need water to survive. It's a matter of life and death, right? You have to have water and the minerals that you can draw up through your roots. And that's why there's very few trees in the desert, right? Desert's typically more barren, right? Desert, typically, if you're going to find trees in the desert, most of the time it's at an oasis where there is a source of water. The psalmist says, what's the blessed Christian life like? It's experiencing nourishment. It's like a tree that is by water, always drinking up the water and sustained by the nutrients. Whenever you're sustained, you have what you need. That's the blessed Christian life. The sense in your soul that whatever's going on around you, you have what you need. Moreover, this blessed and well-nourished tree, let's keep going through the verse, yields its fruit in season. The blessed Christian life is a fruitful life. Again, think about Dr. King and the fruit, the effects, the results, the thousands and millions of people he touched in his lifetime and the legacy he left. You've got the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you're experiencing this blessed Christian life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You have this fruit. You have an impact on those who are around you. Those in your family. Those in your friend circles. Those at your work. Those in your church. It's a fruitful life. You have an impact. You can say that you're making the world a better place. This kind of blessed Christian life is available to you. Moreover, this blessed and well-nourished and fruitful life, it has leaves that do not wither, which means that even when the heat of suffering, the heat of adversity, the heat of oppression comes at you, when all kinds of trials come at you, you will not wither. You'll bend, but you won't break. Again, 2 Corinthians 4, you're afflicted in every way. Paul said that about himself. Afflicted, but not crushed. perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but you know you're not forsaken. Do you know? You are a child of God. And he says to you, whatever is going on in your life, you are not forsaken because I'm with you. And I've got this. And anything I'm bringing to you in your life right now is for your good. Y'all, this is something God's teaching me right now. He's teaching me. It's easy for me to receive the gifts that I recognize as gifts, right? A peaceful season of my life. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that I don't get an unexpected bill in the mail. Maybe I get an unexpected check. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Kids are happy. All of them at one time, which is kind of rare, you know, in a big family. Thank you, Jesus. These good gifts, oh, I can recognize those. And I look behind the gift to see the giver. And I say, thank you, Jesus. What he's teaching me now in real time is to say, thank you, Jesus, for the circumstances coming at me that do not feel like gifts. Because he promises me that they are. See, we don't believe. Scripture doesn't allow us to believe. God himself tells us that nothing happens to you by accident. So that means that if there is a circumstance going on in your life, it's not an accident. It's not like God like missed a step and something kind of slipped through his will to come at you. No, anything that is happening to you right now, God is bringing it to you. But here's the thing. He's bringing it in love. He's bringing it in love. Even the things that feel excruciating. He is bringing it to you in love. And that's hard. That is not easy. Like I said, the Lord is teaching me, which means I'm not doing a great job at that and I need to grow. So he is teaching me to start recognizing the painful circumstances as his gift to me. That's one of the ways when we dig into that, that we can be like this well-watered tree that its leaves do not wither. You see, this blessed Christian life that I'm talking about, make no mistake, this is not like health and wealth prosperity, right? God is not saying, if you follow me, I'm going to just pour down the floodgates of heaven and money is coming at you. There are churches that you're going to go into and you will hear that message, and that is not biblical. But here's the reality. You may be sick and poor, which is the opposite of health and wealth. You may be sick and poor and yet still living the blessed Christian life. Because even in your sickness and poverty, you can say, like the Apostle Paul, I'm afflicted in every way, but I'm not crushed. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Yeah, I know, and I know y'all know, there's some godly Christian women and godly Christian men who have little in the way of resources, but they are rich in blessing. Amen? But you know that that's the reality. I've known godly men and women who are in great physical pain, and yet their relationship with Jesus not only allows them to endure, but it actually lifts their spirit. So physically they're in pain, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually they're rejoicing. I hope you're getting a sense of what this blessed Christian life that is available to you entails. The end of verse 3 says it all. In all that he does, this well-watered tree, this blessed Christian, in all that he does, he prospers. I don't know about you, but this blessed Christian life sounds pretty good. So here's my question. How does your life compare to this blessed Christian life that God paints for us in Psalm 1? What kind of gap is there between how you're experiencing life right now and what God promises is available to you? Are you feeling nourished, productive today? Are you persevering in trials? Do you feel prosperous? Now, if that sounds like you, praise Jesus. I'm really thankful. If the Lord is either bringing a set of circumstances to you right now that is easily identifiable as blessings, then I'm thankful to Jesus that he's brought that to you. Or if the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is opening your mind to receive suffering as if it's blessing, then praise God, and I need you to be faithful to teach others what you're experiencing. But if you are like me many times, and you're feeling like, I know that there is this blessing available to me, but I feel like it's out there somewhere. And I feel like I'm very far away from that. That I don't want you to be discouraged. In fact, I want you to recognize that Jesus is inviting you in to experience more of this blessing today. Don't be discouraged. Don't be ashamed. Don't feel guilty because you don't experience this. Hear the words of Jesus say, come today and experience this. All right, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about how, right? How do we experience this? Now, if you're sitting here today and you're like, yeah, that picture of the blessed Christian life that you've described, that doesn't map onto my life at all. Now, there is a possibility that you actually don't know Jesus. And I'm not saying that that's the case, right? Because even Christians, we struggle with depression, we struggle with anxiety, we struggle with heaviness, right? Even Christians do that. But there is a possibility that one of the reasons you don't know blessing is you don't know the source of the blessing, Jesus Christ. And so I would be foolish today if I didn't just put it out there that Jesus is our Savior. And he has said clearly in Scripture that anyone who would confess their sin and look to Jesus may be saved. Guaranteed to be saved. I'd be foolish if I didn't tell you that Jesus right now is inviting you this moment to surrender your life and to say, I'm tired of doing it on my own. I feel like the opposite of blessed. I feel cursed. Please hear the words of Jesus say, come today. And receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's love. Unconditional love. Because this is available to you. The reality is that every single one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us. So we're not a church that likes to throw stones at others. Because we know that we should be right there being stoned by the other people. Right? Like, we are all sinners. And all of us need the free grace of God that's available to us in Jesus Christ. So if you want to experience this blessed Christian life, the step one is surrender to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins. That's step one. But then it goes beyond that, right? It goes beyond that. It's not just that you may not be a Christian, but perhaps you aren't experiencing these blessings in life because you're not doing much to nurture your relationship with Jesus. That you're not investing in your relationship with Jesus. The reality is that the nature of your relationship with God does affect your experience of blessings in this world. Right? There are Christians, and you may be one of them, and I'm speaking as one who has done this, who proclaim, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not doing anything to nurture my relationship with Jesus. I'll claim to be a Christian. I'll say, yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I'm not doing anything that would actually validate those claims. The way I'm living and the way I'm talking are different. Now, if you feel like you're there, then two things. One, remember that God is a gracious God. And even today, if you feel like, hey, I'm saying this, but I'm doing this, hear the words of Jesus to say, come to me. Come confess, come repent. There is forgiveness available for you today. Right? So no shame, but invitation. Secondly, you need to understand that if you're saying one thing and living another, this blessed life that's promised you, you're going to have a hard time experiencing this. Relationships, people-to-people relationships and with God, it's kind of like a garden, right? If you've ever had a garden, if you've ever walked in a garden or worked in a garden, you know that if you cultivate the garden, if you put in the work, the garden is beautiful. But if you let it go, even for a little bit of time, It is the opposite of beautiful. It gets ugly. It gets overgrown. The leaves start dying. The plants start dying. The flower petals fall down. It becomes this ugly thing. So, question. How much are you cultivating the garden of your relationship with Jesus right now? And again, hear my heart here and hear the message of the gospel. This is not to make you feel guilty for not leaning into Jesus enough and pursuing him and investing in him. This is to remind you that this is where life is found. So if you're recognizing, if you're feeling some conviction today, if you feel like, you know what, I am far from God because, yeah, I know these things, but I'm not living that way and I'm not investing in my relationship, then look, guilt is not the answer. The answer is the gospel. Remember that you have a Father who is looking at you in love because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's inviting you, come back home. Y'all, this matters, right? This really matters. Right? It matters because, I mean, the reason we were put on this earth is to glorify God, right? To experience his love, right? If you got a parent and a child, and the child grows up and wants nothing to do with the parents, well, that's not pleasing to the parent. That's not what the parent wants. The parent wants a relationship with the son, with the daughter, right? Or if the child grows up and only wants to talk to mom, only wants to talk to grandma, only wants to talk to dad, kind of like on the holidays, you know, once a year, maybe a birthday, or when you need something. That's not glorifying. That's not honoring, all right? That's not honoring grandma. It's not honoring mom. It's not honoring dad. Same thing for God. God desires more than just your kind of Hail Mary prayer when you're in trouble, right? Now, don't get me wrong. He'll catch that Hail Mary prayer because he loves you. And he may even surprise you with his blessings for that Hail Mary prayer, but he's inviting you into more than that. So one of the reasons why this is so important that we invest in our relationship with God is because we were created for this relationship. And so you're missing your central purpose in life if you aren't investing in this relationship. But secondly, y'all, I know we want to experience these blessings. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I mean, who here would not say, yeah, I want that. I need more peace in my life. I need more joy in my life. I need more love in my life. We all want this. I know this. And so hear Jesus say, come to me. The more that you experience a close relationship with me, the more these blessings are going to be popping up in your life. Now, I'm going to close with a few kind of tips, few suggestions. But I want to make sure we're all clear on this. Right? There is a difference between being a Christian and experiencing the blessings of being a Christian. I don't want you here thinking, you know, someone who's put their faith in Jesus, who's confessed, who's trusting in Jesus, and yet you're not experiencing these blessings. I don't want you to think, oh, you know, Jesus cast you out. No, that's not it at all. There is a difference between an objective reality of you being a Christian, you being a child of God, and you actually living that out and feeling it. If you've ever had a friendship that's deep, I know all of us have had some kind of relationship that's deep, you know that based upon whether it's a friendship, a mother, daughter, grandparent, husband, wife, whatever the nature of the relationship, that the amount that you invest in that relationship dictates the kind of relationship it is, right? If you have a best lifelong friend and you go weeks, months, years without talking to that person, you can't say with any kind of integrity that that is a deep relationship. And you're not going to experience the blessings of that relationship. But the more you invest, the more you spend time together, the more you pour your heart out and talk and do stuff together and kind of there for one another, the more you do that, the more you experience the gifts of this relationship. The same is true with Jesus. The more we invest, the more we get out. Psalm 1 tells us about the blessed life, but it gives some pointers too on how to get there, And I want to invite as one practical application, because anytime I'm preaching, there's always supposed to be some kind of practical application. One simple application, if you don't want to remember anything else, come to Eat, Talk, Grow today, because we're going to be talking about this very thing in greater detail. All right, so that's one practical application. But two, we see in this text, we see too that part of the way we get to this blessed Christian life is by learning to honor God and living for Him in our mind and in our hearts and in our actions. Or if you want a kind of simple way to think about it, the head and the heart and the hands, your actions, right? What we see is that blessed is the man who walks, who does something, who lives out a set of actions, right? So part of living the blessed Christian life is by doing the types of things that are honoring to God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, right? Part of the way we get to the blessed Christian life is by living our lives to honor God, by doing the kinds of things that please the Lord, right? See, this is the great thing about the Lord. He created us so that as we obey Him more, we enjoy life more. Now, I'm not saying that sin isn't pleasurable. It is, right? But you know, you and I know that the effects of sin, there's a short-term pleasure, long-term cost. Right? You hear me? Like, sin is enjoyable. Sin is fun, and it leads to death. Both of those things can be true. In fact, in some ways, the life that Jesus calls us to is the complete opposite. Short term, it can be costly. Jesus says, come, you want to follow me? You're going to die. Die to yourself daily. Deny yourself daily and follow me. But as you come with me, you're going to experience the abundant life that I've got for you. So one of the ways we get there is by doing the types of things, by with our actions, with our hands, the things that we do, we are doing those in a way that pleases the Lord. The more that you obey God, the more that you enjoy God. So how do we get there? We have actions that please the Lord in our lives. But secondly, it involves our mind. Look at verse 2. He doesn't walk in the counsel of sinners or stand in the way of counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The types of things that we focus on will inevitably affect us. The types of things that you spend listening to, that you spend watching, that comes into your mind, it will affect you. And I'm not going to stand up here and give you a kind of legalistic set of, all right, here's the things you should listen to, here's the things you shouldn't listen to. All right, there are some obvious things you got to avoid, right? Like, I don't think we have to really unpack things like pornography, right? Explicit material. Like, there are obvious things that you know in your conscience you got to flee that. And then there's a lot of gray area, right? This movie, this TV show. Look, now I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to do the work, to help you understand where you should be going and not. But the main thing is, I just want you to understand the concept that what you focus on will impact you. Absolutely. And if you want to experience this blessed Christian life that's available to us and all of the benefits that come from that, spending time meditating, not just on what's going on in the news, not just what's going on in sports, not just what's going on TV, on Netflix, not just that, but also focusing on Scripture, the words of life that God has for us. That's part of the reason why it's so important to gather together as we come on Sunday mornings. It's one of the reasons why we just encourage you. I know it's hard, but crack your Bible in the week and spend some time and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the words. Because the things that we meditate on impact us. But lastly, not only is it our actions and it's our mind, but it's also our heart. It's our emotions. Blessed is the man, verse 1, skipping out of verse 2, whose delight, that's emotional language, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Think about this. You know the story of the Pharisees, right, and the religious leaders of Jesus' day? Well, there was no one at that time who spent more time meditating on Scripture, studying the Old Testament and the law, but they did it without a heart for God. And so what they were reading turned to poison in their lives and in their minds. So you want to know how to live this blessed Christian life? Ask yourself, what pleases the Lord? Go do that. Go do that. You want to know how to live the blessed Christian life? Spend more time meditating on the truths of Scripture. Spend less time meditating on the things of this world. You want to know how to live the blessed Christian life? Spend more time in the presence of God so your heart changes. So you love the Lord more. Yo, it's really hard to grow in your emotions for someone in a positive way if you're not spending time with them, right? Again, this is why long-distance relationships are so hard. It's not impossible. Some of y'all have experienced long-distance relationships, but it's hard because you're apart.
Yes,
yes, you're apart. You understand, you do not have a long-distance relationship with God because His presence is with you right now. You understand that? So don't act like it. I mean, don't be thinking, oh, God's up there in heaven somewhere. No, He tells us again and again and again and again and again that He is with us. He is in this room. He is in your heart. You go home, He is in your house. He is with you. Are you aware of that? Are you acting like that's true? Are you spending time talking to Him? Are you spending time just slowing down and listening for God to speak to you in all manner of circumstances? There's this blessed Christian life. It's available to you. It's available to me. And Jesus today is inviting you in. Would you take a step towards Jesus today? And see and pray, God, as I do this, would you help me to see the blessings that are in my life in a way that I haven't seen them before? Let's pray.